And this is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. The Voting Rights Act is considered the centerpiece legislation of the civil rights era of the 1960s. It gave the Justice Department additional powers to make sure that the voting rights of minorities were not infringed on in states with a history of voting rights abuses. Many of these states were in the South. Later, Texas was included in that list to help non-English-speaking Mexican-American citizens by providing Spanish-language ballots. The Voting Rights Act is never too far out of the news in Texas. It comes up frequently in the rights over the fight in voter ID and redistricting. But now, with a recent historic ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court striking down a key part of the act, the future of voting protection is in question. Last week, U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder delivered a speech where he outlined how the Justice Department would use other remaining parts of the Voting Rights Act to bail in and, quote-unquote, mess with Texas. Joining me to talk about what Holder is planning to do and how it works and what it means for Texas, William Yeomans. He's a fellow in law and government at American University. Professor Yeomans, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
And we also want our listeners to call in if they got questions and comments about the Voting Rights Act, what they want to see happen to there, if they support Eric Holder or they support some of the Texas leaders who don't want to see a federal involvement in voting rights in Texas. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. So, Professor Yeomans, let me ask you, what is Eric Holder doing? We thought, that the Voting Rights Act was done, but apparently there's still some life there.
I think there's a lot of life left in the Voting Rights Act. In order to explain this, I have to go back a little bit. One of the central provisions of the Voting Rights Act, as passed in 1965, was Section 5, which required that covered jurisdictions submit all of their election changes to the Attorney General or to a three-judge court in the District of Columbia for preclearance before they could go into effect. So this was an extraordinary remedy. It was also a remedy that worked extremely well. It was a very effective and efficient way to ensure against discrimination in voting. What the Supreme Court did in the Shelby County case in late June was to strike down Section 4 of the Act, which is the section that that set up the formula that determined which jurisdictions were covered and would have to submit their changes for preclearance before they could go into effect. So what that meant was that there were no longer any covered jurisdictions for preclearance. So the preclearance remedy remains in effect in Section 5, but as the statute now stands, there are no jurisdictions that have to comply with it, that have to submit their changes for preclearance. So what the Attorney General has done is to turn to another section of the statute, which is Section 3C, which allows a federal court, if it finds that a jurisdiction has engaged in intentional discrimination in voting, to require that going forward that jurisdiction submit all of its election changes for preclearance, either to the court or to the Attorney General under the equivalent of the Section 5 procedure. And the jurisdiction will have to show, before the change can go into effect, that it doesn't have the purpose or effect of discriminating. So the Attorney General has joined in, with private plaintiffs in asking that the state of Texas be bailed in, it's called bail-in, bailed into the preclearance coverage of the Voting Rights Act because of the intentional discrimination that the plaintiffs and the Attorney General allege the state has engaged in primarily in its redistricting process.
This apparently is a priority for Eric Holder and the President Obama. Right now, as we speak, there is a meeting going on in the White House with people who are involved in trying to reestablish the Voting Rights Act and make use of it, including one of San Antonio State Representative Trey Martinez Fisher is there. And so why is this such an important part of something for President Obama and Holder?
Well, it's a very big deal. You know, Section 5 has played just an enormous role in the life of our nation since 1965. And I think both proponents and critics alike credited with having made a tremendous difference. It has prevented an awful lot of discrimination, and in other ways it's influenced the way our elections are structured. And the concern is that simply lifting this requirement without any sort of transition period or without any groundwork is going to lead to disaster. And in the Supreme Court opinion, the Shelby County case, Justice Ginsburg dissented and wrote a very powerful dissent in which she said that it's that this is premature, and that things have in fact changed, but they've changed in large part because the preclearance requirement has been in effect. And she analogized it to taking down your umbrella in a rainstorm because you're not getting wet. And so, sadly, what we're seeing is that her prediction is coming true. In an interview the other day, she said that she had hoped not to be right about it, but it turned out that it looked like she would be. So we have seen states that were previously covered by the preclearance requirement enacting laws that will undoubtedly have the effect of suppressing minority votes if they're allowed to go into effect. So not only Texas, but North Carolina last week enacted a law that is really just a compendium of all of the vote suppression ideas that anybody has ever had, ranging from, of course, a strong photo ID requirement to cutting a week off their early voting period to restrictions on registration, and on and on. So and Alabama and Mississippi are now going to move forward with their photo ID laws. Florida is revving up its purge machinery. So we're going to see a lot of activity in response to the Shelby County decision. And I think that the president and the attorney general are both very concerned that people will lose the opportunity to participate in our democratic process.
And the Shelby County, you keep mentioning that, and that's a county in Alabama that brought the complaint. And what has happened there since they won?
Well, they won, right. So they're no longer required to submit their changes for preclearance. I'm not aware that they've taken any actions yet, but it's early. So we'll see. But I think part of what's happening at the White House today, and I'm not there, so I don't know firsthand, but, you know, there's the president and the attorney general have called on Congress to step up and come up with a legislative replacement for what's been lost in the Shelby County decision. And, you know, both the Senate and the House have already started holding hearings on the possibility of legislation. And so I think that the meeting is probably an effort to move that process along.
All right, we're going to continue our conversation. We're talking with William Yeomans. He's a fellow in law and government at American University. We're talking about the Voting Rights Act. We want to hear from you callers. What do you think about this? Is this just bare-knuckled politics, or is this really about protecting your rights? The number is 614-8980. We'll be right back. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The Supreme Court sent a message to the Justice Department that was loud and clear: don't mess with Texas. That's what Congressman Lamar Smith of San Antonio insisted, but Eric Holder and the Justice Department are not listening. He continued, we're talking about the Voting Rights Act and some activity here about Eric Holder trying to make sure the Voting Rights Act does not go away, even though the U.S. Supreme Court has struck down a critical provision. We're talking with William Yeomans. He's a fellow in law and government at American University. We're interested in what you have to think about it. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. Let's go to the phones. Craig is standing by. Craig, welcome to The Source.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I think that Eric Holder is one of the most politically oriented Attorney General, since John Mitchell. And the reason I think that is, when he came down here to give a speech in San Antonio, he required a picture ID to get in the door. Anything of importance in any statewide our national event requires a picture ID. I can't imagine that there's more than 0.5% of the people that don't have several picture IDs that would qualify. And if they need one, it's the easiest thing in the world to get. You got to make a telephone call. And then you can go down and get your picture taken at the DPS, and you're away and running. If you have nothing, if you're not a felon, or if you are a legal resident and have the right to vote, there's not a problem. Now, if someone wants to argue about how the areas for representation in the Congress are set up, if they can prove that they're set up to discriminate against any race, well, I'm all for that. That they should prove that, and if they are, they should be set back. But the other things that are being talked about are just absolutely ridiculous. We would never put up with allowing people in Texas of any color to be told they can't vote because of their color. Now, I want to know that they absolutely are citizens and they have the right to vote, and a picture ID will go a long way towards that. That's all I have to say.
All right, Craig, thank you very much. Appreciate your call. So let's go to Professor Yeomans. What do you have to say about Craig's ideas?
Well, let me just comment briefly on the photo ID issue, which has been a very controversial issue in voting. And one reason is that statistics show that it does have a disproportionate impact on minority voters who are less likely to have the type of IDs that are requested. So I think there's less objection to having people show some kind of ID than there is to having people show an ID that satisfies a kind of narrow list of acceptable IDs. So, for instance, in Texas, as I understand it, student IDs don't count. Well, that's the kind of picture ID that a lot of young people have. And I'll just note that a three-judge court in the District of Columbia refused to allow the Texas photo ID law to go into effect under Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act, finding that it would have a large and disproportionate impact on minority voters. I think that court's findings were pretty solid, and I hope the listener would go read the opinion.
Well, I understand where Craig is coming from. He talks about how you have to have had a voter ID, not an ID, to go see Eric Holder. But, you know, going to see Eric Holder is not something that's part of the Constitution. You're not guaranteed a right to see Holder, but you are guaranteed a right to vote.
Right. It's not a fundamental right, and I also suspect that your student ID would have gotten you into that.
And so, but his point, I think, really takes that he sees this as a political argument, and it is. It cleaves right down that line, that center point, where you have the folks on one side, they're trying to keep a portion of the population who are inclined to vote Democrat from voting, and you've got the people on the other side who want to keep people who are inclined to vote Democrat to vote.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it's unfortunate that that civil rights gets caught up in partisan politics like this. I think, you know, we should all rally around the notion that people who are eligible to vote should be able to vote, and we should make it as easy as possible for them. And I think that gets lost. And the defense that this is about partisan politics, it seems to me, it just doesn't cut it, because states are not allowed to use race as a means of achieving partisan goals. So it is just as inappropriate to tell people that they can't vote, to decide that, for instance, African Americans are going to vote Democratic, so we're not going to let African Americans vote. It doesn't matter whether you're doing it because of that or simply because you don't like African Americans. It's racial discrimination, pure and simple.
Okay, back to the phones. The number is 614-8980 if you want to jump in on this conversation. Lee, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I was calling when I'm concerned about is, you know, you've got the Voting Rights Act enacted years ago, just recently overturned, and Rhode Island passed the same state law requiring photo ID for all voting purposes in Rhode Island last year. But because they weren't under the Voting Rights Act, it got passed, and there was very minimal said about it, very little disturbance. And so my concern is, you know, you've got states who are not applied to this rule who are enacting legislation very similar to what Texas is doing or other states. And all states should be held to the same standard on a federal standard if we're going to go with federal rights. And so I don't understand. I mean, people can buy a photo ID that's government issued without having to have a driver's license. My mother-in-law is elderly and can't drive. And so she has a federal ID or a state ID that with the photograph and everything like that, she's still eligible to vote. People who have drivers, I don't know very many teenagers who don't have driver's licenses. But they can enroll in school. They can certainly get a photo ID that's a national photo ID without or state federal ID that doesn't have any hindrance or problem. They're very inexpensive. I think they're only $12.
Okay, Lee. Well, thank you for that call and those your points. Let's see what William Yeomans has to say about that.
On the Rhode Island issue, you know, there are differences among photo ID laws, of course. And the one that was passed by Rhode Island is, I think, much more permissive, certainly than Texas's. And I would point out as an example, too, that Virginia, for instance, passed a photo ID law, which was subjected to Section 5 preclearance because Virginia was a covered state. And it was approved by the Justice Department, finding that it was non-discriminatory. So there are differences among photo ID laws. The problems arise where the list of acceptable IDs is very restrictive and is likely to exclude people who, for instance, don't have a driver's license. Lots of people don't have driver's licenses. Poor and minority people disproportionately don't have driver's licenses. And one of the things that the D.C. court found about Texas was that it was not all that easy to get a substitute ID. So it frequently involved long travel and at some expense, and it costs money to get the documents necessary to establish your identity. So it found that it would have a disproportionate impact on poor and minority voters.
When Texas did pass the voter ID law in that same legislative session, they closed down many DPS offices across the state where people would go to get that ID. So that would mean that for some people, it would require 2 hours of driving time to get that ID. And then you got to sit there for hours and get it as well. And that's no small thing. Let me go back to the phones. Clayton is standing by. Clayton, welcome to The Source.
Thank you for taking my call. My comment is, I think that it could be successfully argued that trying to restrict voting in any way proved disastrous for the Republican Party during the last election, and they should, if they're in a hole, they should quit digging, let sleeping voters lie. And I'll take my response off the air. Thank you.
All right, Clayton, that brings up a very interesting point. Things often play out differently when the rubber meets the road. Did we see an increase with people? Was there effect there in the voting process?
Well, we did see large minority turnout in the 2012 election. I think it's legitimate to think that some of it was in response to efforts to suppress the vote. Of course, I think it also made a difference that Barack Obama was on the ballot. I think the caller is right. I think that there is a real danger of a backlash here. As many people have noted, the demographics of Texas are changing. And at some point, rather than fighting that, I think people are going to have to embrace it. And that's a matter for Texas to work out. But I think people do need to take a long-term perspective.
You know, the rationale that we hear from the Texas leadership for voter ID is to prevent voter fraud. Have we seen a lot of voter fraud that would be prevented with voter IDs?
Well, no, we haven't. As you correctly note, it is a kind of a single kind of fraud that is attacked by a photo ID law, and that is people showing up at the ballot place to say they are someone who they are not and then voting. And the instances of that happening are simply minuscule, and state after state in adopting a photo ID law has had to admit that there have not actually been any recorded instances and certainly no prosecutions of this happening. I think it's worth noting that the under the Bush administration, the Department of Justice set up a task force to look into voter fraud. And during, I believe it was a six-year course, prosecuted something like 86 cases of vote fraud nationwide.
Okay, I want to try and get one more caller in. Professor, sure. One more caller. Chip, you're on the air. Welcome to The Source, Chip.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that it's not like you just show up and vote. Every county registrar will send you a voter ID registration. Why is a document that's issued by a county, which is an arm of the state, not valid for this process? Now, I'm not suggesting that the county come up with a photo ID for everyone, but why is a document that's legally mandated not adequate for this process? And I also have to say that if you don't think that Texas has not been manipulated in order to suppress or alter votes, then why did we go through three redistrictings in 10 years? And I'll take my comments off the air. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your call, Chip. So Chip is talking about the postcard thing that we get from the county registrar.
Yeah, I don't know why that can't be sufficient.
It is today, right? But not if voter ID goes into effect.
Right, not if photo ID goes into effect. Right, and it doesn't. As I said, there really isn't a problem that's being cured by the photo ID requirement. So
let me go real quick back to Eric Holder and what he's trying to do. I mean, we're looking at a really drawn-out political fight. We don't have a whole lot of time to talk about this, but, you know, this is going to go to the courts. It's going to be back and forth and go head back to the Supreme Court probably.
It may well. First, the three-judge court in San Antonio is going to have to decide whether to enter what's called a 3C remedy and subject Texas to preclearance. Certainly, if it does enter an order like that, I imagine it will be appealed. It may well go to the Supreme Court.
William Yeomans, fellow in law and government at American University, thank you so much for talking to us about the Voting Rights Act. This is The Source. We'll be right back.